Dear friends, a few thoughts this evening as I reflect on Genesis here in Matthew. End of the church year. Very last Sunday, very last Wednesday that we think of these themes, at least for the moment. What comes to mind when you think of the end of the church year? Well, what comes to mind? Themes of judgment. Themes of judgment. God is going to bring judgment upon the world. Does it scare people? I don't know if it does. I've seen many times a sandwich board in front of the Coors Field in Colorado with someone saying the end is near, repent, and no one bats an eye. Judgment. You know, as you look at the Bible, there's any number of places where a day of judgment was warned about. And this is one of them. The days of Noah. Warnings of judgment upon the earth. And what really amazes me when I read that account of Noah, the number 8 pops up. You think about that. 8. Of the entire inhabitants of the world, 8 were saved. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's it. 8. How evil was the world? I mean, I've seen some biblical scholars do a little bit of math. And, you know, putting the numbers together and the years together. I've seen some of them say there were probably several million people on the earth by this time. Now, I don't know if that number's accurate or not, but it might be feasible. Now, think of that. Several million people. And 8 were saved. That just, I can't even fathom that. You know, we think our day and age is evil. Oh my, you know, we see the drug culture. We see the crime. We see the terrorism. We see the promiscuity. We see the abuse. We see all these things that are going on. And we say, wow, Lord, come right now. Come back right now. The day and age is so evil. And yet, have we arrived to that point where there's only 8 people left? And this number 8 just, wow, only 8. Only 8 were saved. Now, you know, God heralded judgment. What does God do about that? About all of this evil? What God does is that he sends his word. And unfortunately, he sends it through ordinary people. They're not always that thrilling to listen to. Sometimes they are. But God sends his word to warn, to tell, to proclaim. And hopefully somebody's listening. And, you know, if you look at some of the verses about Noah in the Bible, there's a number of places where Noah is spoken about. Genesis is one place. Luke is one place. Matthew's another place. Peter speaks about Noah. So there's several places in the Bible that speak about Noah. And one of the places speaks about him being kind of a preacher of righteousness. Now think of that. Having to preach to the world that was that evil. And Noah did this apparently for a number of years, quite a few years. Success? This is probably the most miserable preaching job we've ever seen in the Bible. Noah must have been depressed. I don't know if he was or not, but to bring that message across, and it just, nobody's listening. I mean, for years and years and years. That's depressing to a preacher. I'd be pretty depressed if you preached for 30 years and not a single person came to the church. Wow. And yet God sent his word. He sent his word. And finally, when God reaches that point where his patience runs out, and God is a very patient God, and that's one of the wonderful themes of judgment. He's very patient. He's patient with me. He's patient with you. He's a very patient God. But his patience does run out. And it finally ran out. And he sent the waters. He opened the heavens and the waters came. And the floods rose. And he wiped everything out. What a catastrophe that was. The people screaming. I guess he was right.
I guess Noah was right. Let us in.
A little too late at that moment. And so the world is destroyed. All life wiped out. But what's interesting is that Noah's flood is two things. It's an end and it's a beginning. A new end, an end and a new beginning. He wipes out all that is evil, but he starts over again with eight that believed. And as you think of that, that amazing flood, what comes to mind when you think of water and an end and a beginning, immediately what comes to mind for us is holy baptism. We've talked about it many times as Lutherans. In fact, we're sometimes, I heard one of my friends say, well, the Lutherans are more Baptist than the Baptists, because we actually believe baptism has power in it. Baptism is like the flood. There's a beginning, there's an end, and there's a beginning. We die in baptism. We are buried with Christ in baptism. Romans 6, St. Paul. What an amazing thing happens. I wish, you know, I tell people that are bringing their babies for baptism, I wish that at that moment that you pour water over the child, that all of a sudden there's thunder and lightning in the sky and there's things happening and lightning flying all over the place. But that doesn't happen, doesn't it? That would be dramatic. But God often works through simple things. In a baptism, St. Paul says, we're buried with Christ. There is an ending. There's the death of the old man, the killing of that, burying of that old man. And there is a new beginning. We arise with Christ, and a new beginning starts. And so Peter compares Noah's flood to baptism, where this end and this beginning starts, a new creation. And yes, what's interesting is eight. The number eight in Jewish thinking was considered to be the eternal day. You don't run into that too much. But it was considered to be the eternal day. You have the 7 days of creation plus God's rest, and then the next day. Yes, it starts the week over, but it's also considered the eighth day, the eternal day, the day without end. And when a baby was, a Hebrew baby, a Hebrew male was circumcised, it was on the eighth day. There's that number again. When he received that circumcision, God was claiming him and marking him for the eternal day. And so you go to St. Paul, book of Colossians, and he suddenly says the New Testament equivalent to that is baptism. And so our baptismal fonts have eight sides. This number eight, the eternal day. You pour the waters in the name with the word. Yeah, I wish there was thunder and lightning, but there's not. But there's God's promise, and there's God's word, and there's God's spirit. And he marks that child for the eighth day. He brings him into eternity, claims him as his own. It's a good thing to see. You know, you've been claimed, washed for the eternal day. A really beautiful thing. So what does that make you? Ready for judgment. The judgment day. And because of that, because of the Spirit, and because of faith, and because of all those wonderful things, God will say to you, come to me, my beloved, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you. You are one of the eight, a child of the eighth day, the eternal day. A wonderful thought. In Jesus' name.